This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Way gets it away. It's a wobbler. Covey backs up. He takes it at the 23. Starts to his left. Comes across the 30. Comes across the 40. Up to the 42. This kid is too much.
Fantastic.
He is too much. This they are so lucky to have him.
Wait a minute. Wasn't that Merrill guy?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, I shouldn't have said that.
Tough day, Hugh.
But they let him go?
Well, the Eagles did not tender a contract to Britton Covey. Seems like the Britton Covey era is coming to an end. Hugh, you all right with this?
Yeah.
Me too.
I mean, he was Merrill's guy. No disrespect to Merrill. Yeah, I got to say that now because I don't want any, like, I found out that every time I open my mouth and say something, people feel like I'm coming at him or something. So I'm like, no disrespect. I'm just pointing out the fact that that was Merrill's guy.
All right, so I'm not going to lose any sleep over Britton Covey not getting tendered a contract. But, Hugh, he was a pretty good punt returner, right?
Yeah, decent.
So, Kenny Gainwell is a Steeler. Britton Covey not tendered a contract. Are you okay with Cooper DeJean returning punts next year?
I think
year?
They're okay with it.
So, he's good at it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But isn't he
had that one flub.
Isn't he too valuable back there? Usually teams, when a player's that good, they kind of back away from that.
I hear what you're saying, Joe. And I understand your dilemma, but that tells me that they're probably going to go get one of them. They're going to probably find somebody in free agency that they feel is upgrade or draft somebody.
There's also, who they draft last year? He didn't play much of a role. Receiver, Anaya Smith. I mean, he's still here. I mean, maybe he becomes a returner.
What's his name? Is Jacobson still here? What's his name we got from the Commodores?
Jahan
Dawson. I said
Jacobson.
What the hell? Yeah, I'm all over the place.
Dude.
I done blew my mind. Jacobs.
He's Jacobson from now on this show. You know, the Eagles receiver depth.
That was a pop-pop Douglas moment.
That was a pop-pop. Yeah.
The Eagles receiving depth behind
Jahan
Smith
Dawson,
and Brown. They got
Josh
Jacobson. Jacobson might be able to do it. I don't see why not.
I was thinking about Dotson, though.
Yeah, I know.
But I said Jacobson.
I think if I put up a poll of who should return punts for the Eagles next year, DeJean or Jacobson? How do you think people will react?
They're going to call me an idiot. He's an idiot.
they're going to be mad at me.
Hugh Douglas.
They don't actually listen. They just react to
Jacobson to return punts. I'm with Jacobson. I like this. This hour on 94 WIP, fueled by Sunoco 94 Octane. If you demand peak performance for your vehicle, then nothing less than Sunoco 94 Octane will do. Treat your car 94 only. At Sunoco. All right, quickly before we get back to the phones, Philly's made an announcement today. They have two new members that will be inducted, I believe it's August 1st, early in August, on the Wall of Fame, Hugh. Two new names.
Who they got?
Jimmy Rollins.
J-Roll.
Obviously very, very deserving. And one that I think will surprise some people. But I understand the case for putting him in. Hugh, they're going to induct Ed Wade into their Wall of Fame. And, you know, you go back to that time, Ed Wade was criticized more than he was praised because when he was in charge, they didn't win. But now the time has passed, He assembled the core of that team that went on to win the World Series with Pat Gillick and continued that run for 5 years. He assembled the most important parts. He just wasn't around to watch it, you know, win.
You know what I remember about Ed Wade?
What's that?
Angelo killing him all the time, talking bad about him.
Him and Nenny.
That's what
Wall
I remember.
Wall of Famer.
Yeah. That's what I remember.
Yeah, I think history shines better on Ed Wade than it was in the present, because it was like they couldn't get over the hump, and he just felt like he was, in some ways, people probably thought he was holding them back. But he put together a great team, and Jimmy Rollins was a huge part of that. J-Roll going to the
J-Roll.
Wall of Fame.
Congratulations to J-Roll.
Yeah, that's awesome. So that'll be early August. J-Roll into the Phillies Wall of Fame. Very deserving. Violet in Virginia is up. Violet!
Hi!
How are you, Violet?
How are you guys?
We're good.
I'm good. I've been listening to y'all, and gosh darn it, I would have gotten the car.
Oh.
I think. That's okay. What gave it away was that second clue.
See, Hugh? You got some praise for your clues.
That, like, the ones that know me understand me. They understand it.
Is that the spin when you say things that no one believes?
Yeah.
The people that know me get it. I get it. I like
those that know me know better.
Virginia, where are you at on the Violet, where are you on the defense and losing all these players?
You know, I mean, it was bound to happen. I'm happy that we kept Cooper DeJean, and I'm glad that, you know, we kept Bond for sure. I really think that, you know, Howie's got a plan. I'm not worried. It's still too early. And, you know, I mean, beefing up the offense, that may not be a bad thing, you know. It might be a little shift next year, and that's not a bad thing.
We have
a long ways to go. I mean, free agency is still a ways to go. We still have the draft. I think we're going to be fine. I really do. And plus, with Fangio, with the players that we have kept, I think it's going to be okay. I really do. And, I mean, my biggest one was CJ GJ. I really liked him. I liked Slay, of course. You know, but they're a little older. I mean, I think we'll be okay. I really do.
Well, I think they will too, ultimately. And Violet, I'm glad you mentioned CJ GJ, because that was like the tipping point for me. And Violet, good phone call. Most people that have called and say, didn't you see this coming? Of course we saw this coming, right? I don't think anyone was surprised when Josh Sweat left or Milton Williams left. Those things were pretty much expected.
The one that got us shook
CJ.
Is the CJ one. That's the one. That's the one where I think for most people, they were okay with some of the moves, because we kind of talked about it. We talked through it. But the CJ GJ one, that was the one that came out of left field. And then, to your point, people started calling, oh, he wasn't that good anyway.
Yeah, I think the other ones were expected. You kind of saw that on the horizon. And then immediately, I think Elliot hopped in the studio with us immediately after the CJ-GJ trade and mentioned how it wasn't so much this year, but they were looking down the line at salaries, and then they looked at next year. And that was the first time it hit me. Like, and then Joe Banner, who appeared on the morning show today, he had a tweet the other day. Like, their salary cap situation is a little more challenging than maybe we thought.
Mm-hmm.
And then the real reason for that is because they've decided to pay all these offensive guys. I mean, they it's almost like they made their bed, and now they got to sleep in it.
Yeah. And that's why, you know, they are more bang for your buck. Like I was talking about the 5.0 with the air intake and the pulley, changing the pulleys and all that other stuff. That's what the defense is going to be. They're still going to be a what they call it, a 10-second car. But they had to, you know, do a little bit of modifying a little bit. Just a little modifying.
Just a little modifying, Hugh Douglas. Mechanic Douglas over here. Is this a new Hugh? He's
modifying? I'm just saying. I try to say
Handy
stuff
Hugh.
That people can relate to.
Well, that's all the cues. I mean, that's how...
Yeah, I try to be relatable to the masses, man.
By the way...
This bracket's filling out.
I know. Selection Sunday for the NCAA is on Sunday. We will have our bracket sometime midweek next week, the full bracket of Hughes. I can't wait to see how the... First of all, when we get down to Clearwater, we're gonna have bracketology. I mean, we're going to have to seed this thing and figure out where all the Hughes go. I mean, the first thing I'd be shocked if plant-based Hugh is in a one seed.
Oh, no, he has to be.
Without a doubt, a one seed.
Like you say he has to be as if they aren't all you.
They are different. They're different versions of you. I told you so. Douglas is also probably
strong,
a one seed.
He came on strong.
Yeah. I mean, he was 500-ish midseason, but then he's been undefeated.
We'll have to figure out the other two.
Dark horse.
The great Reverend Douglas is a good one.
Reverend Douglas. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tongue tied. is probably a one seed.
Well, there's so many examples. I mean, he's played in those showcase games, and you know everyone's watching those. Let's get to Herb in the Northeast. Herb. Hey, Herb.
Yeah, what's up? Finally, Joe.
Herb.
Yep. Leaving him hanging.
Start listening to Hugh Douglas, what he says, okay, number one. Number two, football is body for body, year to year, things change. You can't. It's hard to keep these guys. The last five, six, 7 years or so, the salaries keep going up and up, and you got the every year the teams are getting more money. You know, 28, you're going to have a big cap and all that, more cap space to sign more players because of the TV. But it comes down to look. You know, these guys, they knew, get the ring, we're going to go get some money, okay? Mm-hmm. They knew that. A couple older guys. The key is the defensive coordinator. He put this defense together. They bought into his plan, Fangio. They bought into his plan, okay? And his plan got us, okay, a Super Bowl championship.
Yep.
Okay? Jalen Hurts, okay, as far as Jalen Hurts goes, he keeps every time he plays every time he plays a big game, he goes from 22 to 23 to 24. He keeps getting better, okay? He understands what he's gotta do. When he loses a game, he understands. You see, in professional sports, well, even in high school, college, you got to be able to handle the wins and the losses.
You got to have perspective. Herb, how come you didn't come out to McGurk's
perspective
yesterday?
Yeah, too far.
Because
far.
I was busy. I was up this morning. I had to take people to the Philly airport at 3 this morning.
What were you doing yesterday?
You know what? The three of us are going to the airport. Maybe. What do you think about Herb taking us to the airport on Sunday, guys?
But listen, you
could use a ride.
I'm okay. They're going to go out.
I like how he ignored you.
Maybe even this weekend. I'm more concerned about what's happening with 77. Beckham, is he coming here or not?
Okay. I don't know. He's still a free agent.
So that's why Howie did what he did. And they want to move on with number 8, and that's what they're doing, CJ. So they're going to find players. There's a lot of players in the first, second, and third rounds. And, you know, now we got 4 fifth-round picks. He might be able to maneuver down into the third round, too, or the fourth round, depending on he might give up a couple picks to go in and grab somebody.
I'm good with that,
round.
Herb. I'm good with that.
So, I mean, you know, the thing is, it's let Howie do his thing. That's why Jeffrey Lurie's had him around all this time, and he learns every year what to do. I mean, next year, you're going to have the same issue on the defense. These guys, the thing is, these guys that left, okay, the two of them, Sweat and Williams. I met Williams, okay?
Uh-oh. Nice guy? Is he a nice kid?
Starter. Yep. He wasn't really a starter, okay? But, okay, he's let him play the next 2 years. If he don't do good enough, you know what they're going to do?
Bring him back.
They're going to cut him.
And then the Eagles can bring him back.
Unless the money's guaranteed, all of it. They stuck, but if they ain't stuck, they'll cut him. And he gets the guaranteed money, and then he's going to go look for another team, just like what's his name did with the 49ers.
Hargrave, but he was old.
When did you meet Milton Williams, Herb?
Did you drive Milton somewhere?
What's that?
Did you drive Milton somewhere? Where would you meet Milton?
Down at the show. Chickney was down there a couple times with. He was down there at night, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock show.
You guys hang out?
Who knows when he was there.
Oh, yeah, you didn't tell us about this? You hung out with Herb and Milton Williams? You didn't tell us?
Oh, it was like he did one of the first shows. Because I did tell you.
No, but like you didn't tell me that you and Herb and Milton hung out after.
I'm looking at it, and Brandon Graham was there.
Wow.
And, Ike Reese was there. You know the deal.
Wow. You didn't tell me about this. Herb, good phone call. You guys went out afterwards, you and Herb and Milton. You don't tell us.
We did.
That's the way Herb made it sound.
We probably did. I don't
know. Okay. All right. And like that.
Because of a few drinks?
Yep. Let's go to Mike in South Jersey. What's up, Mike?
What up, guys?
Hey, Mike.
Yeah, so I feel what you're saying as far as, like, you know, we got a lot of money tied up on the offense, but who would you not pay over the defense? You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, right now they're all paid, so
they locked up the guys they wanted.
You're kind of stuck. Yeah. Are you asking who I wouldn't have paid so we wouldn't be in this situation?
Yeah, basically.
Well, all right. Well, look, Mike, I don't. Well, first of all, I wouldn't have gave Saquon extra money. Like that, to me, it was unnecessary.
So I agree with that. Like, I don't see the reason for. I mean, rewarding him, I get it, but I mean, we really didn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
But wasn't there a hypothetical that we were going to give Jalen an extension?
Yeah, but at least that the idea of that would have been to free up money, like to move the money, push it back, and then you have more money to work with now. But yes, but Mike, the other thing that I keep thinking about with this is if they're going to run the football as much as they did last year, does it make sense to have two receivers that make this much money? And I'm not saying those guys aren't great players. Like, they're great. But like, I'm just trying to think about how they build the team. And if they're losing all these defensive players to run the football that much, it feels like the resources are being used in a weird way to me.
I mean, I get it, but like we've seen what happened to us with the Bucks. Like, we didn't have AJ, and we've seen what happened both times.
Oh, I know, yeah. But they also didn't have a great defense either of those times, which is that changes things a little bit.
We were the most dysfunctional last year, and we were 10-1 before the collapse. So it's like, It kind of goes back to Hugh's defense is kind of a luxury in a sense.
Oh, I didn't tell him to say that. No. I didn't.
You didn't tell him, but we see you over there.
What do you mean?
We see you giggling it up.
I didn't even giggle.
You got to think about it a little bit because it's like we were dysfunctional, the most dysfunctional in the league probably. And before the collapse, we were 10-1 with. The ranked, 30th, 31st defense?
Yeah, it was a poor defense, yep.
So, I mean, yeah, our defense is going to take a little back seat in a sense, but most of our guys are second-year, third-year guys. They're pretty much going to flourish in this defense with Vic.
Well, they could. I mean, they could and should. I mean, Ojomo and Jalix Hunt and Nolan. I mean, if they all take jumps, and Mike, we preach to the call, then this could definitely work out.
I just want to point out, they were not, when they were 10-1, their defense was, I believe, because I remember looking this up last year and we had discussions about it, they were like 20th, I think.
They fell
in
the
league
end.
And they fell apart, and that was part of the collapse. So I think that has to kind of be factored in a little bit here.
Yeah, well, that's why they lost all
like,
those games.
The defense was not good, but it was at least, I guess, like good enough with
serviceable.
Right, like steady.
Yeah.
And then most of the reason that they fell apart at the end of the year was, you know, the quarterback turning the ball over a ton. But
and the defense went
the
bad.
The defense couldn't stop anybody.
Well, that's when they brought in Shaq Leonard and those guys.
Yeah, and Matt Patricia. I mean, they were just pulling any lever that they could.
That when none of them seemed to work then. All right, let's go to Josh in Wilmington. What's up, Josh?
Yo, what's happening, gentlemen?
Josh, what's up?
Not a whole lot. So, Joe, I mean, look, I was just waiting, counting the days until your knees started clapping, right? And today, here's the day. You're concerned with our losses on defense. And I'll be lying right to your face if I told you that I wasn't either. However, you know, the way that Howie Roseman goes about doing stuff, I'm kind of all right because I picture – you know, during this time of the year, Howie's just got that parlor game going wherever he finds himself, and it's the three cups. See if you could follow which one the ball's underneath, and he just starts going, and nobody can get it. And next thing you know, we're all scratching our heads, draft
balls
night.
Balls in a cup, Joe.
You heard me, Hugh. Balls in a cup. That's right. I just went off the rails, but anyway, back. But and that's my point. My point is I really don't think that Howie would let something like that, the need, especially at edge, go unchecked during this time of the year. And with the amount of capital that we have built up, I'm pretty confident in the fact that he is going to align us with what we need. Now, the outlier here and I think this will probably get on to Hugh a little bit, mm-hmm. is that I don't want to throw the cow completely in on Bryce Huff just yet. Because, listen, 53 or 51 and a hook is $1 million. That's a lot of change. And we, you know, if Vic Fangio just flat doesn't like the dude, we're going to end up kind of looking at him the same way we look at Devin White, right?
Yep.
He don't like the dude. He's gone. So I'm all right with, you know, knowing that those three – listen, Bond was huge. And then to just drive it home, you know, I'm really, really – positive about Howie's season, and I'm more concerned with the hole on the offensive line. I want Mekhi Becton back. Of all the guys, I think that he was the most to come back. And, you know, the defense, I mean, look, we were spoiled last year, guys.
Oh, yeah.
That ain't going to happen again, right? And well, this is a really interesting topic, man, and I'm loving it.
Well, Josh. The Becton thing is interesting because he's still, you know, I would have said by now if he didn't come back here, someone would have signed him. He's still out there. It's almost like the league is looking at him more like a second tier free agent than a top one, because otherwise he would have been off the board already.
No doubt about it. And his versatility is paramount. And I think that the Eagles would be smart if they kind of looked at him and said, all right, well, he's got guard in him for at least another season or two, with the ultimate plan to slide right in behind Lane.
Mm.
So Howie could be into the market, I think, this season for, you know, some tackle support through the draft.
Could be, yeah, especially if they lose Becton. And Josh, we preached the phone call. Yeah, Hugh, the Becton thing is interesting because I think a lot of people would assume he would have been signed already. You know, they signed Josh Uche today. Right now, like typically, and you live this, doesn't it feel like the guys that get real money, it's the first couple days. After
that's
what
I was always told.
After that, it's more like 1 or 2 year deals. Now, it doesn't, I mean,
yeah, because
Becton could, but I wonder if he's going to go for less than we thought now.
Yeah. I mean, you want to get the money. Like when Drew was my agent, Drew used to always say, hey, man, you want to sign in the first couple days of free agency because now you want to try to get as much as you can. Because guys that wait in free agency, you know, you still got the draft coming up because a lot of teams want to take care of this before the drafts.
Yep.
And if a team – and that's why I feel like the Eagles look at it like this. There's not a whole lot of guys out there for them probably right now. They're probably looking towards the draft to make moves during that time to fill the holes that they have. And they're gonna figure that out, and then they're going to start bringing in guys that they feel could fill the voids that we have on that defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, they probably will. And they could also look to the trade market. They have a lot of draft picks. All right, Cowboy Jim finishes up today. What's up, Cowboy Jim?
Cowboy Jim.
All right, congratulations to Jerry Jones. Can I get an apology today for how well Jerry has done?
You have got to be smoking.
Come on now.
What do you do?
D-Law is gone. No more D-Law. He's gone, thank goodness. Why didn't you guys take him? Didn't you want him?
No.
No, you don't want him? Oh, okay, all right. But Jerry did it, so I'm not going to get an apology in any way.
No.
No, okay.
I mean, why are we apologizing to Cowboy Jim for? I mean, what are we doing?
What are you talking about?
And stop lumping me in with these other Cowboy fans. Right?
You're just like them.
If you're Cowboy Jim, you're like the front man.
I know. You're their leader.
I am. Don't listen to them. And by the way, Hugh, yes, Leon Lett was in the first Super Bowl. Remember, he ran back. You said, he was in the later Super Bowls.
No, but who was – or was it Charles? Hey, somebody left. Y'all lost some pieces on that defense.
No, we won 3 Super Bowls out of 4 years. We should have had 4 in a row.
Somebody
left because he went to San Fran.
Yeah,
to San Fran, and then you got Dion.
Yeah, like, we got Dion.
Yeah, it's
the fact that none of us can remember tells you how
Defense. But the point is that the defense changed.
I'm watching the OJ documentary. It was during that period. That's a long time ago. I mean, that's a long time ago. All right, that's
he said the OJ.
It was. I mean, the Cowboys were a dynasty when OJ was on trial.
This is that when you said it, I was like, damn, he right. That was around that time.
It was. All right, you guys have a great rest of your day. Ike, Spike, and Fritz, they are up next. Maybe less yelling on their show today, we'll say, than ours. I'm not sure about that. You guys, we'll talk to you tomorrow on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Go Birds!